When he takes it, he has to eat it. And when he eats that book, it's sweet in his mouth, but sour in his belly. Once he eats it, that assignment becomes one with him, and then he is activated into the ability to walk out that part of his heavenly assignment. It's profound. The same thing happens to Ezekiel. He's actually given a scroll, he has to eat it. It becomes one with him, and now he's activated into actualizing out of what is written. Every chapter we walk out that is in our heavenly scroll will cost us something, but I tell you the good news, it's always worth it.
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
Hey friends, Dan Duvall. Here to remind you that danduvall.com is the home of Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. And you can get merch and also become a podcast patron at that site to support what we're doing. Also, please hit that like button and hit that subscribe. That will help us to get this message and what we're doing out to more people and to crack those YouTube algorithms. How cool is that? Number three, overcomeraccelerated.com. That's a place where you can get group coaching with yours truly, as well as a book study and all kinds of other resources that will facilitate a more profound and a robust healing journey experience if you are a survivor getting ready to take a healing journey in Christ. We're here for you. We're going to get right to the podcast. Don't go anywhere. I'll see you on the other side. What's up, friends? Dan Duvall back on Discovering Truth with another nugget. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about heavenly scrolls. Why? I've been getting a lot of questions about heavenly scrolls since I started talking about them. It's interesting. It's a term that we all know, like what it means. This is a scroll. You know, it usually we imagine a rolled up piece of papyrus or whatever with writing on it. But when it comes to the conversation on heavenly scrolls, there are a lot of Christians and believers that are still like unclear. Like what is my heavenly scroll? Maybe what does it look like? You know, because it's a spiritual document, some of us have a hard time getting into our mode of engagement or just out of our own heads or 3D thinking to say, maybe it is possible to engage with a supernatural spiritual document, but you know, let's get some clarifying questions answered. I'm here for you. So today we're going to break this down, beginning with the conversation on purpose and intent. In other words, first thing I'm going to explain to you is why heavenly scrolls exist. Heavenly scrolls exist because we have a God who is intentional about what he does. Some people think God put them here to get bullied by a defeated kingdom. They think that the devil was designed to mop the floor with them. They think they're the gum on the bottom of a devil's shoe. I say baloney. It's untrue. In fact, God put you here to give the devil a bad day and kick his teeth in. But in order to connect with how we're going to do that, we have to connect to God's power. We have to connect to the superior kingdom that is run by Jesus Christ, because that's where the resources are going to be found to do what we are supposed to do in this place. So God sends us in. He gives us a life on this earth. He creates us and he sends us in. And that sending in is done with intent. He doesn't just send us in arbitrarily, like, oh, well, we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe not. Who knows? Who cares? Blah, blah, blah. Some of us really think that God thinks this way. He doesn't. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So what the apostle is saying in the book of Ephesians is that you were created for good works, you. And these works were designed to be executed by you for the sake of being rewarded by the God who created all things, who the Bible says has his reward with him. You know, God loves to reward us for the things that we do. He takes a lot of pride in how he treats his people. And he's a good God. The Bible says it over and over. The Lord is good. Mercy, it endures forever. So God is not arbitrary, and he has intent. He creates us with intent. He creates us with a design in mind. he writes down his intent. Like, this is what I designed this being to do. And when he sends us into the earth, we have an expression of that, like, purpose. And so this begins the conversation on the heavenly scroll, because that purpose is determined in God's mind when we're created in Christ before we are sent in. Now, my view, and I am absolutely firm on this at this point, is that we were created a very long time ago in Christ Jesus. We began as an idea in the mind of God, and through Christ Jesus, the Creator, we came into existence. Our essence comes from God. Essence is in is basically understandable as the substructure that underwrites our existence as life. And it ultimately will be found in body, soul, and spirit. And in that, the first emanation of essence is spirit. So Jesus creates us in him as a spirit being. We come from him as life, life from life. He is the source of life, and our life comes from him. That's our essence. And then out of that is expressed spirit. And we begin to exist with God as a spirit being. And I believe that this happened ages ago. And we've gone through a long journey through many cycles and ages to get to this point where we are in the age of man. And there is this cosmic conflict playing out in the earth, which we get to be a part of. And we get to, in Christ Jesus, be on the redemptive agency side of the whole thing. So we all have an assignment in that. And that is written down on a document that pre-exists our conception. And the Bible says in Psalm 139 and verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. In other words, God already knew what he sent you here to do before he sent you. Before your parents conceived you, God had it in mind. He's like, I'm going to send this being that I have created for a purpose into the earth with a purpose. And I'm going to write it down. This is the thing about a heavenly scroll. You have to understand, if you've ever played a game with a liar, you know that, let's just pick on like the guess the number in my head, right? Now you know that there are some people that are going to be honest. They're just honest people. So if they're thinking five and they say, guess the number in my head, and you say four, they'll say, close, it was five. But they'll be honest. But then there are liars, and they're going to do whatever they can to sabotage you. So you say, I guess four. They'll be like, it's 10. And the guy that gets nine, he gets the candy. Because, the liar wanted the other person to win. And so they picked a game without any accountability. There's no accountability. They just made up the answer. And that's what's happening, right? So if you don't write it down, you can feign some kind of intent. But there's nothing to hold a person accountable. So when we play a game like guess the number in my head, it's like, wait a minute. Write it down first. Write down the thing. And then when we engage with this game, like, and you say, yeah, it's this. We can check it against what's been written. So God is accountable. He's a righteous God. He never lies. He never cheats. And so what God does is he doesn't just say, I created you for a purpose. He writes the purpose down so that he is accountable. He's accountable. He's accountable to his own plan. So he writes it down. So when no one can come before God, justify themselves and say, hey, you didn't know what you were doing, bro. You did the wrong thing. You created me without a purpose. There was no plan. You just sent me there to suffer. And now I became the gum on the bottom of the devil's shoe. What else was I going to do? Like, there was never an intent. Wrong. God even holds himself accountable to your intent by writing it down. And that's what Psalm 139 gets across. All the days of our lives were written when as yet there were none of them. It doesn't mean that what God planned for our lives is what's going to happen, though. It means that what God plan for our lives is available. It's available. And that's the thing about the heavenly scroll. There is no such thing as fate. Fate is an occult concept where it's like, well, this is just going to happen no matter what. Everybody gets a choice. What the Bible teaches is free will. So God has a plan. He writes it down. That becomes this heavenly scroll. These are the things I created this person to do before I sent them in. In fact, as a spirit being through the ages, I have an idea of what they were created for. And then in this age, there is a specific thing that they're being sent in for. It's all documented. Then we come in. Now it's our opportunity to engage with what God wrote about us to do those things while we are here. And it's also our choice to not. We can actually choose to live completely independent of the purpose of God, the scroll of heaven for our lives. We could say, you know what? No, thank you. Because that's free will. So is the will of God always done? Heck no. The Bible says that it is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Since all don't come to repentance, I promise you the will of God is not always being done. So what we have to understand about a heavenly scroll is this is not like fate. It's not determined before you come in. Like, yep, this guy is going to be no good, busted, broke all the time, drug addict. Like, that's what God sent the person in to do, and that's all they could ever be. No, there are things that happen to us that are out of the will of God. There are things that happen in this earth that are outside of the will of God. For this reason, the Bible says, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We contend for the will of God because when good men do nothing, evil prevails. So continuing with the heavenly scroll, we are sent in with a purpose and with intent. And because this is a broken world that is misaligned with heaven, where there is free will, we have the choice of whether or not to engage with that heavenly document, to do the things that are written on it. And the interesting thing about the heavenly document is the way that God sets things up, you can't get to chapter 20 if you didn't go through chapter 10. In other words, God doesn't skip steps. So what happens with this heavenly document is we actually have to go through that book one piece at a time. So God will have the book available, but you can only look at chapter one. And it's like when you get to chapter one and you start to engage with that, then I'll open up chapter two. Then I'll open up chapter three. Then I'll open up chapter four. And so the heavenly scroll will actually unpack over time once we choose to get on board with it. This is one of the reasons why a lot of Christians don't have fruitful lives, because they don't get past chapter one of their heavenly scroll. It looks kind of like this, doing their own thing, going around, messing around. And then someone comes to them and says, look, Jesus died for your sins. Would you like to get saved? And they have a conviction in their heart. They say, sign me up. This Jesus that has grace for me and forgiveness of sins wants to put me in heaven. I'll take it. So they believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he died for their sins and they commit their lives to Jesus. But then they don't go through any kind of discipleship process. They listen to a few sermons here and there, hang out with some secular people. Next thing you know, they're just a secular Christian. They're living for themselves. Their God is their belly, whatever it is. Like they give Jesus a place of honorable mention in their lives, but they're not living for God. And they're not really living out of a revelation of what God sent them here to do. They're just living. Or they're pursuing good things that may not be God things. And so what does that reflect? That means that that person's not gone past chapter one in their heavenly scroll. They got chapter one. It was like, get saved. Receive the grace of Jesus Christ for your salvation. But they didn't get to chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5. This is where a lot of Christians mess up, because really, the kind of fruit that we're supposed to bear as people is mapped to the genius that God has put on the inside of us. God has put extraordinary gifts on the inside of every one of his children. I mean, really amazing things. You know, people are amazing. And yes, does everybody have the same level of intelligence? No. Does everybody have the same level of physical ability? No. Are there gifted individuals? Yes. But and not every person that is good at some things is good at everything. And like there is no point where you will find that person that is literally better than everyone at everything all the time. There are some people that are very good at things. But what I'm saying is there is genius inside of every one of us. And the beautiful thing is that the more we engage with that heavenly scroll, the more we will find that our lives are actually mapping to the genius that God put on the inside of us. Because he, as our maker, knows what we were designed to do. So what better person to consult for the instruction manual on how a device works than the manufacturer of that device? If I want to know how my dishwasher works, I'm going to read the manual that the dishwasher maker printed, because they know what they designed it to do. They know all the features. That's who God is to each and every one of us. He knows exactly what we were created to do. He wrote it down. He knows all the features. He knows the genius that he's put on the inside of us. And that heavenly scroll, as we begin to engage it, maps our lives to the genius on the inside of us. It maps us to the most effective and most ascended, most consequential version of ourselves that we are going to be, not only from a temporal perspective, but from an eternal perspective. This is why heavenly scrolls are so important. Because when we begin to understand heavenly scroll, we begin to understand how to truly self-actualize. True self-actualization outside of Christ is a misnomer. Because to actualize outside of the God that created us is to create an answer to a question that was already answered by someone else in a different way. It's just amazing. So true self-actualization happens in Christ, and it happens for those individuals that engage with their heavenly scroll and walk it out. In fact, the apostle says that we are to press on towards the mark of the prize, which is the high calling in Christ Jesus. And so when we think about our lives, we actually have to think, look, not only was I put here for a purpose, not only was I put here with intent, but the God that put me here wants me to take this life seriously and press in to what he has for me so I can get a prize. And that prize is a high calling. The high calling is done from a place of self-actualization. And that's powerful. So you have a lot of people that are disoriented. They're dissatisfied with their station in life. And the truth is, they haven't found peace in the execution of what God put them here to do. It's just that simple. And so, you know, as we begin to really unpack the idea of heavenly scroll, you see some things in Scripture that are interesting. Like in the book of Revelation, you see the Apostle John, and he is standing before a large angel. And the large angel has a little book in its hand. Its face is like the sun, its feet like pillars of fire. And there's a voice from heaven that tells John, go and take the book, which is in the hand of the angel. And when he takes it, he has to eat it. And when he eats that book, it's sweet in his mouth, but sour in his belly. And he's told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. And you take a look at that and it's like, oh, look at that. That's a heavenly spiritual book being received by an apostle. And so how does this map to what you're talking about, Dan? Answer. When God writes down everything that he designed us to do, that will not always be with us in its complete form. It usually isn't. We usually just have a piece of it. It's like you have a piece of a scroll. And then you have to add to that scroll, almost like you're building out a library. And so, there were times where they used to write books in like mini chronologies or like little chapters. And so, you know, you get like three chapters in a printing, and then they print the next three chapters in a separate binding. It can be kind of like that with the heavenly scroll, where you have some, but you can't even access more. It has to be delivered at the appointed time. So what happens is John was always going to prophesy to these nations and kings and tongues and tribes according to what God decided about him. But relative to John's experience in the earth, because of his faithfulness, while he's on the Isle of Patmos, he is delivered that next piece of the scroll. And once he eats it, that assignment becomes one with him, and then he is activated into the ability to walk out that part of his heavenly assignment. It's profound. The same thing happens to Ezekiel in the book of Ezekiel. He's actually given a scroll, he has to eat it, it becomes one with him, and now he's activated into actualizing out of what is written. So what does this describe? This describes us like going to God to engage with him and saying, Jesus, I'm choosing to say yes, and I want to sign up for what you have for me to do. I choose to say yes to my heavenly scroll. Now, show it to me and give me all of the revelation and understanding that I need, right? We put ourselves in a posture of receptivity and say we're willing to receive. Now, the way that we actually receive the scroll in experience may look different. We may not have an angel deliver us a document. Some of us will. Some of us may just get a dream or a download or a prophetic word. Or we are just journaling and boom, there's an epiphany, a really powerful idea that has a presence of God on it. And it's like, that is what you are to do. And so the scroll can be delivered in many ways. Like we don't have to expect that it looks like us having an angel literally walk in our house and give us a book or a document that is spiritual. It looks all kinds of ways, but that's what it is. When that thing opens up to us as we are in that posture of receptivity towards God, then the next response is the yes. We have to say, this is what I've received. I understand. I'm to prophesy to nations and kings and tongues and tribes. The next response has to be the yes. Because once we receive the scroll or the next chapter in what God has written about us, we got to engage with it. And that is going to cost us something. Every chapter we walk out that is in our heavenly scroll will cost us something. But I tell you the good news, it's always worth it. It's always worth it. So this is Heavenly Scroll 101. I mean, this is literally the nuts and bolts. And there's a lot that could be said about Heavenly Scrolls. But at the end of the day, it boils down to this. God puts you in this world with intent and purpose. He documented that intent and purpose before he sent you in because he's a just God, he's righteous, and he's accountable. So that purpose then becomes unveiled to us as we engage with him. When we put ourselves in that posture of receptivity and earnest seeking, the Bible says, ask and it will be answered, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you. And then we'll begin to get the downloads, the prophetic words, the epiphanies, the good ideas that are God ideas, and maybe a supernatural encounter as well. Who knows? With that, we pay the price. Whatever it's going to cost us, we count the cost, we say yes, and we go and we do. Because this, friends, is the path to true self-actualization, which if you ask me, I want for every one of you. With that said, we're done with today's nugget. You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. God bless and Godspeed.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at danduvall.com where you will discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.